the Dakota Access Pipeline, a $3.7 billion project intended to connect and a project destined to divide. Here's the plan: to pump crude oil from the rural and energy-rich north central U.S. to Illinois, more than 1,200 miles to the east. From there, it can be transported to refineries on the eastern seaboard and the Gulf Coast.
As the House knows full well, we have a first-rate ambassador in Washington doing a very good job of relating both with the present administration and the administration to be, and there is no vacancy.
I talked to several participants in the press who said he wasn't upset, he wasn't yelling, but then he said all of these really harsh things. Yeah. And I'm going to say right now, it was the most one-sided, skewed coverage where you had people writing front page stories, tweeting 20 tweets a day, attacking Donald Trump. The media has to, there has to be some introspection going the other way as well.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Wednesday. It's November 23rd, 2016, 5:09. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day, our final before the big Thanksgiving holiday. You ready? You got your calorie counter all set to go there. Your turkey thawing, hopefully. Don't, whatever you do, put it in hot grease. Try to fry it while it's frozen. I learned that from a fire video I saw yesterday in the newsroom. Boy, those things go up, don't they? The fried turkeys, got to be careful with those. But hey, it could be snowing today, by the way, if you're in Chicago. So that's a good way to look at the rain that's coming down this morning. If it were snowing, we'd be in serious travel troubles, as it were. This is one of the busiest travel days of the season. And we will be hearing from Ryan Burrow all morning long here on 720 WGN. I think he's going to be out at the airport a little later on. We'll also be hearing from all other parts of the country as well as we move toward Turkey Day, the big Thanksgiving holiday. Markets will be closed tomorrow. We'll be off here on The Opening Bell through the end of the week, only an abbreviated trading day on Friday. But right now, we've got a big show for you. We're going to be talking about what we're thankful for in the economy coming up with our thought leader discussion from Associated Bank. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, the Dow futures are pointing toward possible gains later on this morning when the bell rings. They had been in solidly positive territory a little bit ago. It looks like they're dipping now into negative territory, off about 2 points. The NASDAQ and S&P futures just a little bit lower as well. Around the rest of the globe this morning in Asia, stocks rose after a post-U.S. election rally drove the Dow Jones Industrials to a new high yesterday. We hit 19,000. I don't know if you were watching the big board when that happened. Also this morning, Japanese markets are closed for the holiday. Benchmarks in New Zealand, Taiwan, and Singapore are up. On Tuesday, the Dow, as I mentioned briefly, surpassed 19,000 for the first time. The Dow closed at a record high six times in the last 2 weeks since the presidential election. Trading volume has fallen as well. We're likely to see a light trading volume today, too, as most investors and traders have already taken the holiday off. But we'll be monitoring your money throughout the morning. A couple of other big stories that we're watching for you today. A federal court is blocking implementation of a regulation that would make an estimated 4 million more higher earner workers eligible for overtime pay. The U.S. District Court in the Eastern District of Texas granted a nationwide preliminary injunction yesterday that prevents the Department of Labor from implementing the changes until the rule's legality can be further examined. The order comes after 21 states sued to block the rule before it took effect on December 1st. Also this morning, pilots at German airline Lufthansa have launched a two-day strike in a pay dispute, a walkout that has forced the company to cancel nearly 900 flights for today alone. If you have German travel today, especially on Lufthansa, you'll want to call ahead and check your flights. Also today, Toyota Motor Company is recalling 834,000 more vehicles, Toyota Sienna minivans in North America, because the sliding doors could open while the vehicle is moving. Well, today on our thought leader discussion, I thought we'd bring in Chuck Garcia of Associated Bank to talk about some of the things that we're thankful for. It's our regular Thursday event, our thought leader discussion, but it's on Wednesday because we won't be here tomorrow. Chuck, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell. Welcome back. I thought we would talk about what we're thankful for coming up, but this is the first time that we've chatted since the election. I'm interested to know what you've seen that is positive and pushing the markets upward that you like over the last couple of weeks.
Well, I think that the market's reaction is pretty significant. People seem to be upbeat. There's obviously uncertainty out there still, but I think the general mood in the markets are upbeat. You know, all the trends seem to be on the up positive side. So I think in general, I think things seem pretty positive.
And the markets seem to be reacting that way as well. There's only a little bit of concern about where the bond yield may be headed. What are you seeing there?
I think that's really leveling into the uncertainty in the marketplaces, and I think for most people probably going to stay a little bit shorter today than that real long end of the cycle. I think there's still upside believed to be in the market or built in there.
So I'm seeing also today there is a little bit of worry about what's going to be happening with the European Union. There's an election in France, and they're talking about leaving the European Union as well. It's called Frexit.
So yes.
More uncertainty from around the world.
Correct.
Give us a sense of how that's impacting our local economy or what could possibly impact our
local economy. Well, again, I think you hit the key word is uncertainty. I think anytime there's uncertainty, it gives people pause and says, gosh, do I want to enter X market? Do I want to enter X business, depending on where that is? And I think the uncertainty is absolutely out there.
The last time we had a discussion, we were talking about emerging markets and how those were sort of ripe for the picking for investments. Not so much anymore. There's a lot of concern over those areas.
Agree. I totally agree.
So what would the exposure be if you had to guide people in those areas?
I'd say be cautious. I'd say, you know, see how some of these trade agreements begin to play out, see what the reality is of those. Saw the Chinese entering in and trying to fill voids in some of that space recently. And so I think that be cautious of where you're going, what you're doing, and I'd wait for more certain times, I'd say, in how these packs run themselves out.
I know there's probably a lot that has surprised you over the last couple of weeks, but I want to just mention something since you brought it up, the trade agreements, that the Prime Minister of Canada was very quick to tell President-elect Donald Trump, hey, I'm ready to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement today. Did that surprise you?
It was a surprise. I think people have liked the certainty that was in place for such a long time now. So that was a surprise.
And the Trans-Pacific deal, that
yes.
Seems to be dead on arrival now. Everybody seems to agree with that.
It seems to be, although I read something this morning that seemed to indicate that there's some level of flexibility there, perhaps on a smaller scale with more targeted countries. So it could have some variation that that could come out of that. Again, who knows on that front? The coming months will be, I think, very interesting.
Chuck, stay with us here this morning as we take a break on our thought leader conversation from Associated Bank this morning on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk today. A couple of local stocks we're watching. Sears Holdings is up almost 2.5% as we head toward Black Friday on this busy travel day. United Airlines is up almost a full percentage points. Navistar International doing well today as well, up about 3% pre-market this morning. This is the opening bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street now. For the second straight day, the major U.S. stock indexes have reached new record territory. The Dow Jones surged 67 points to close at 19,023. The S&P 500 gained 4 points. The Nasdaq rose 17 to close at its all-time high of 5386. Americans bought new homes in October at the fastest pace in nearly a decade. Low mortgage rates have helped to spur home sales. Rates have begun climbing since the election, though. 5.6 million new homes were bought last month. A federal judge has blocked an Obama administration rule to extend mandatory overtime pay to more than 4 million workers, jeopardizing one of the outgoing president's signature achievements. 21 states sued on grounds that the overtime rule was unlawful. And Toyota has announced another recall, this time 834,000 Sienna minivans in North America, because the sliding rear doors could open while the vehicle is moving. The recall covers 2011 to 2016 model years. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program at 5:22 as we continue our thought leader conversation this morning with Associated Bank and one of the directors there, Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management, Chuck Garcia, manager of government banking and financial institutions as well at Associated Bank. Chuck, before the break, we were talking a little bit about how the markets were bouncing back and forward after the election of Donald Trump. In some of these areas where there is concern and nervousness, what do you tell some of your clients? What do you tell folks who may be worried about, like we mentioned earlier, the emerging markets?
I think, again, it depends on the market. A lot of our clients here are very Midwest oriented. Their roots are here. Their clients are here. Their businesses are. I think where you get outside of this general area or even outside the country, that's where a great deal of uncertainty is out there. So guiding our clients in a lot of instances is, I'd say, a little easier because it's more local, it's more regional, and there's much more certainty there.
We saw with the election that the Midwest really was solidly behind Donald Trump.
Yes.
The Rust Belt, as they described it, Michigan, Wisconsin, those states. Is the economy not as good as we thought it was here in the Midwest, or what was at play there?
It seems to be that it's solid, but not for everybody. I think depending on where you are, what your industry is, I think that not everybody is feeling the positives, and I think that really is the turning point, it seems, of where people chose to vote and who actually came out and voted.
And so some of those areas would be what, construction, maybe manufacturing?
Correct. Absolutely. It sure seems to be that way. Or anything that has anything, obviously the mining industries, things of that nature, but heavy type of equipment. I think a lot of people, maybe they even still have a job, but perhaps feel underemployed.
So here's the million-dollar question for you. You've seen a lot of these cycles happen. The president-elect has promised to bring some of these jobs back to try to rejuvenate this. Is that even possible?
Well, if he's able to pass through what everybody believes in this big infrastructure project, yes, I think it is. I think those are jobs that will spawn new jobs. I don't know, you didn't mention Ford, but their decision to keep some element of their factories still here in the States. I think that it is possible. It doesn't happen overnight, obviously. These are very long-term type of decisions, but I think the infrastructure project has a lot of potential.
But for some of the manufacturing jobs, for some of the steel jobs, for some of these other jobs that went overseas because of NAFTA and some of the others, is it a possibility?
I think it is a possibility. I think when you look at potential to change tariffs, to change some of the taxing structures, I think last time we spoke, we talked about repatriating funds for some of these companies, bringing some of those factories back online here in the U.S. and making it economically feasible. It's possible. Again, it doesn't happen overnight. Clearly, it's a longer-term type of proposition.
And then there's the renegotiating of these trade deals, as we've talked about, that could go a long way. And then there's also, as we just sort of mentioned before the election too, just this idea of having companies start reinvesting again in this country. There's a lot of cash parked everywhere.
Correct.
What impact could that have?
I think that could be huge. I think that can happen fairly quickly. You take the tax rates down to what's proposed or what's been talked about in the 10% range, you've automatically changed the economic dynamics entirely for many of these companies who would like, I think, in many cases, to bring those funds back on shore. I think that's an element that could change things very, very quickly.
We've been hearing a lot, too, about deregulation in different industries. What do you like out of that discussion that you've been hearing, and what do you not dislike?
Well, I'll speak to the industry I know best, obviously banking. I think it's been built up in the bank stocks in the last week and a half here. They're really on the uptick with the anticipation of some level of deregulation being imposed and some lower regulation that has been imposed over the last 7-8 years. I think there's tremendous opportunity to reinvest those monies in people, branches, whatever a particular financial institution may have available to it. It's a total ability to redirect some of those monies that have been spent on compliance and regulation.
There was a report in the Wall Street Journal talking about the Dodd-Frank Act specifically this morning, and the writer having a little bit of caution, saying let's not overshoot this. There's a way we can go up to the line, but overshooting it might set us up for another catastrophe, is what the words that this writer used. Would you agree with that?
I think there's some level of that I do agree with. I think anything that we we overcook, whether it's overregulating or underregulating, gives plenty of rooms for those that want to push those boundaries, that they'll do it. And so, yes, I would agree with that. We still, you know, banks are an industry that the public has to rely upon. Some level of regulation is absolutely necessary, and I would not overshoot taking all these things away. But I think there is a balancing that I hopefully can occur.
Overcooking the turkey and the Thanksgiving pie, too, is probably not a good idea. Let me ask you this, because your experience, we're so happy to draw on it, because a lot of people have asked me, well, Steve, how quickly can some of this stuff happen after the new president is inaugurated? I think the answer is it varies, right? I mean, some of it could be executive order. Others we'd have to wait for Congress. What is your thought?
It is very much that. I think some of the tax code elements could change fairly quickly. And I think those will have very, very significant near and long-term impacts. Getting jobs back online here in the United States in factories, you don't build a factory overnight. You don't put it back into production. Those things will take time. But I think there are absolutely things that can have a significant impact, both on in real terms, but also in perception and people's ideas of what the future looks like. If they're real, tangible, and the right decisions, can have a very positive impact.
Well, as we sit today, I think the polling is at 98% for a Fed's fund increase at the December meeting. You on board with that as well?
Very much so. Yes, it's probably a little beyond time. But again, given all the uncertainties over the last 6 months, I don't think it's a wrong move to have held, but I think it would be wrong to hold on longer.
And so what will that mean as we see that roll out at the consumer level and above?
Well, consumer levels, if you have variable rate type of interest rates that you're tied to a credit card, perhaps a mortgage, you will see those increase. For us banks, it gives us an opportunity to price up in marketplaces that we haven't been able to on loans, which is a positive for the financial industry, depending on which side that you're on. And then for savers, and you think of like especially the seniors that have seen their buying value deteriorate so bad with these low interest rates, I think it gives them a positive uptick. Now, again, I don't think anybody anticipates anything more than a 25 basis point change. So it's not a huge change, but I think, again, it's there's a mental aspect to that, too.
And shame on us, I guess, for always looking forward even beyond the event that's coming. But as we look forward into the new year as well, it would seem that the Federal Reserve Chair has also sort of set the market up, the Federal Open Market Committee up for a series of increases. Of course, we thought that was going to happen this year, but that's what she's setting up again for next year, isn't it?
It sure looks that way. And again, I think it's very appropriate. If the market and the economy continues to move at the pace that it's going here, I don't believe it's going to have any negative drag on that.
Because we've seen the economic indicators that I think she's probably looking at too, construction, unemployment, all of those things have been positive now for multiple weeks in a row, especially construction, home construction.
Yes.
What would be the sign from out maybe left field that would be a warning sign that would stop that process?
Well, I think if you saw unemployment tick up in a significant way on any prolonged period, I would absolutely do that. I think there's need, frankly, for a little inflation. I don't think they would overreact to a modest increase in inflation. Obviously, there are shocks. If there's a shock to the oil industry, if there's a shock to from outside the country, potentially, that can obviously have an impact. But I think all the signs seem to point very positively and should warrant further increases.
Yeah, God forbid a terrorist attack or some military action. That's what you might be referring to outside of the country.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah. So, this is Thanksgiving week. I thought we would use a little bit of time here at the end of our conversation to sort of talk about what we all can be thankful for. From, we look at our area as Wisconsin and Illinois and Indiana. Our economy's been pretty good. We have a lot to be thankful for, even with these negative parts, right?
Absolutely. I think there are so many positives. I think there's uncertainty from if you live in Illinois, obviously the government is a concern locally and regionally with the government. But there's so many positive pieces. The consumer spending seems to be solid. Construction is solid. All the major drivers of what economically you'd be excited and happy for, that they're definitely there.
So what would you kind of guide people to if they're having trouble finding something to be be thankful for. You mentioned a few things there, but how do you respond to folks when they say, what are you thankful for?
Well, look, we live in a fabulous country, mm-hmm. first. We're safe here. When you compare us to the rest of the world, we live in a very safe country. For us regionally, jobs are abundant. You drive down any street and there's a help wanted sign, so the chances to have employment are very strong. I think that we have the ability to continue to grow further, and I think just the optimism and the opportunity is something we should all be thankful for.
And the optimism part of it is a key thing, because if you're not really optimistic, if you're always thinking in a negative way, you might bring that along with you, or some baggage you might bring along if you're negative, right?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. There's always something to look on a downside. Again, I say you look at the school system and some of the funding problems we have. There's certainly always downsides, but I'd say the optimism and the positives far outweigh that.
So will it be Thanksgiving turkey or Thanksgiving ham, and are you apple pie or pumpkin pie?
Well, I hope it's both, actually, on all fronts. I'm sure I'll overindulge, as everybody else will, but probably a turkey guy.
Well, we look forward to having a good Thanksgiving with you and you, the best to your family and to everyone at Associated Bank, and we'll see you after the holiday.
Well, thank you, and the same to you.
Chuck Garcia is Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management and Manager of Government Banking and Financial Institutions at Associated Bank. You can follow Associated Bank on Twitter at Associated Biz, B-I-Z. And this is the opening bell. We'll be back with the news in just a minute.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 542. As we continue our pre-dawn business conversation this morning, have you been to McDonald's lately? Did you notice you might be paying a little bit more for your burger and fries? Peter Frost at Crane's Chicago Business figured that out. He had a sit-down, I believe, with the CEO of McDonald's. Peter's with us this morning on the opening bell. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you? You had a nice sit-down with the CEO of McDonald's.
Yeah. I was out in New York for a day and had a sit-down with Steve as he was announcing some of the company's new initiatives to remodel their restaurants and bring them more into the future.
Well, we hit off the program today by talking about how the price of our quarter pounder and fries is a little higher today. Did you get a chance to talk about why that is? So why are we paying more?
Yeah, so you're seeing minimum wage law increases around the country. A lot of states have kept it at the federal level, which has been the same since 2009. But over the last few years, in this legislative session, more states and municipalities are moving to raise their minimum wages. And of course, who's the biggest employer of minimum wage workers? That's the restaurant industry and McDonald's, with 14 grounds of the United States restaurants, quite a few of them. So they're ending up taking, they're raising prices on their items to make up for wages now and wage increases in the future for their employees.
Peter, before we go any further, I think you might have put us on speakerphone there. We kind of clicked over while you were talking there. But this is something that I think McDonald's has been getting us ready for, and others as well, other fast food places, for this fight for 15. They've been saying, and others had been saying, it's going to end up costing us in other ways. This is that other way, I guess, right?
Well, that's right, Steve. It's these minimum wage increases are going to be baked into the costs of everything that we buy, whether that's a hamburger or a soda or a beer or whatever. And it's also another thing that's going to come, Steve, is the healthcare costs, right? I mean, healthcare costs are rising at companies as well, and those are going to be passed along to consumers like every other good cost is, I suppose.
And so when you sat down with Steve Easterbrook, did you get a sense of how he's doing with guiding the ship of McDonald's? Because I know that after a really strong quarter or two there, they kind of fell off the wagon just a little bit. McDonald's still struggling, isn't it?
You know, it is. They're doing a lot better than they were last year. Steve is still confident in his turnaround. But when you look at McDonald's compared to other restaurant companies, particularly in the quick service fast food industry, everybody's hurting right now, and it has to do with them all raising prices at a time when grocery prices are super low. So you're seeing a lot less restaurant traffic. People are buying stuff, whether it's prepared foods or non-prepared foods at grocery stores, and taking it home. So they're still struggling with that, but that's an industry-wide phenomenon. It's not like, in my view, I don't turnaround plan. I think McDonald's is still sort of on track here. I don't think the fourth quarter is going to look so great because last fourth quarter, if you recall, we talked about this before, they did all-day breakfast, right? They started making egg McMuffins available all day and provided a meaningful sales bump. So they're going to be bumping up against that this year. So I'm not sure the comps are going to look great, but I think that the company overall is sort of on track here for the turnaround that he's been talking about since he joined since he became CEO in March 2015.
And so, Peter, did you get a sense that the next year as we move into 2017 will be sort of restructuring these stores in the way they appear to us? Because I know the last time we talked, too, they were just putting the store online, I believe, out in Kansas City, where they had some of these automated kiosks and other stuff. Is that we're going to see more of that as we head to quarter one?
That's the big push now. That's what Steve was announcing last week. They now have 500 of these stores, which they call the experience of the future. And you're right, it includes self-service kiosks. They have customizable sandwiches. The interior is different. They're going to launch mobile app ordering in the United States next year, which they think is going to be a big hit. Digital menu boards. It's called the experience of the future. And they have 500 restaurants in the United States right now, and they're rolling it out to 5 more major metro markets early 2017. And Steve told me in our interview that toward the end of 2017 and into 2018 is when you're going to see a lot of other franchisees see the success that their colleagues are having and start to pull that from corporate and demand it. So a lot of momentum you're going to see with restaurant remodels coming in 2017 and 2018.
Did you get a sense of whether or not the fire is under his feet from shareholders?
I don't think so, honestly. I mean, he's been there for a year and a half, and it's been a sort of a stream of constant change coming out of there. I mean, he's pulled every lever that you can pull. He's messing with iconic McDonald's products. He's taking artificial ingredients out of chicken McNuggets. He's creating, new Big Macs. He is going back to the old recipe on the English muffin, the Egg McMuffin. He's moving the headquarters from Oak Brook to downtown. He's taking on huge amounts of debt to restructure the company. He's cut so many jobs in the restructuring. He sort of remade the executive team. So I think shareholders like what they see in Steve. I know the stock has been a little bit stagnant, but I think that's just because of the overall industry, the macroeconomic environment there. But no, I think shareholders like what they see so far.
Well, good stuff. Peter, thank you very much for being with us today. Peter Frost from Crane Chicago Business. Have a good Thanksgiving, Peter.
Hey, you too, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right, you can follow along with Peter, too, by the way, on Twitter, at Peter Frost, and his latest story appears at Crane Chicago Business at chicagobusiness.com. It's 5:52. Welcome back to the opening bell as we check the WGN Associated Bank market desk numbers this morning. Dow futures are off 7. The NASDAQ and S&P futures lower just a bit as well. Crude oil is trading up just a few pennies. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. One more trading day before the Thanksgiving Day holiday. And yesterday, soybean futures at the Board of Trade hit a 4-month high thanks to strength in Chinese soybean markets and in technical buying. Corn moved slightly higher and wheat closed mixed ahead of the Thanksgiving Day holiday tomorrow. At the end of the day yesterday, the December wheat contract was down 2.25 cents, but the rest of the wheat months were higher. December corn, meanwhile, up a penny and a half, 3.87¼ a bushel. January soybeans continuing a good gain with that Chinese strength in the market yesterday, up 11¼ cents in the January contract to $10.30. Over at the Mercantile Exchange yesterday, hog futures down about 1%. Investors locking in profits after prices earlier climbed to the highest levels in more than 2 months. Meanwhile, live cattle futures slightly higher, feeder cattle narrowly lower in largely technically driven trade ahead of the Thanksgiving Day holiday. At the end of the session yesterday, the December lean hog contract down 57 cents at 49.30 a hundredweight. December live cattle futures up 47 at 109.35. January feeder cattle down 2 cents at $124.05 a hundredweight. Again, markets will be closed tomorrow and will be open only until noon on Friday. Have a great day and a great Thanksgiving. I'm Orion Samuelson.
All right, right back at you, Orion. 5:54 now, and on the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016. The U.S. Department of Commerce releases statistics for new residential sales for October. The U.S. Federal Housing Agency is scheduled to publish the monthly and quarterly housing price index and tables for September 2016 and quarter three 2016. The U.S. National Association of Realtors releases the monthly existing home sales statistics, and the U.S.-China Joint Commission on Commerce and Trade 27th session concludes in Washington, D.C. We'll be watching a couple of other big events today. President Obama pardons those two giant Iowa-raised turkeys at the annual Thanksgiving turkey ceremony that happens later this afternoon in the Rose Garden at the White House. All of those things, well, except for the turkeys maybe, could drive markets today. We'll keep watching all of it as we monitor your money throughout the morning on the Steve Cochran Show coming up next. We'll be back on Monday after a short break for Thanksgiving. Thank you to all of you who've tuned in over the past year to the opening bell. We appreciate you listening, and look forward to having you back with us on Monday as we get back to work after our holiday. I'm Steve Grzanich. Have a great day.